I thought there was going to be a small crowd. Now I'm nervous. This prayer request for Barbara Abbott. She has a prolapsed bladder and other organs. And she's having a lot of pain. She's not able to stand for very long at a time. And she can't do much of anything, she says. And she will probably have surgery here shortly. But please remember Nathan and Barbara, because they're a real asset to the Lubbock Church and congregation. And I think Lisa must have been a real asset to Brian. I don't think it could have been from the other side. And it's good to see so many people. Voorhees family. I don't know for sure what year we met them, but some of them weren't even born yet. And here they're married, got kids and grandkids. Maybe, I don't know. But I'm sorry that their parents are going through such troubling times. I think he has dementia. And, you know, her house burned. She's had all kinds of trials for Seth. And anyway, it's good. Still good to see them. I sure have changed, though. You know, we're on a journey through life. We were on a carnal journey until God determined to call us, to give us understanding. Now we're on a spiritual journey, brethren. A much greater and awesome journey than the previous one that we were on. Turn to John 6:44. I know this is familiar scripture. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Turn to verse 65. And he said, therefore I say to you, no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him of my Father. You know, do we ever really think about the calling we have, how awesome it is that the God of the universe, creator of this earth, set the earth in rotation about 1,000 miles an hour at the equator, and we're spinning and yet we don't feel it. We have gravity, flowers and trees and bees and the beauty, the varieties of food, the varieties of plants and animals and all the many blessings that He's given to us. What an awesome calling, though, brethren, that we have from our great God. We've heard the term one in a million. I don't know how many, what the percentage is of the people called, but there's several billion people in this world. And a minute part of the church, not very many, have been called. And what a special blessing Mr. Moore mentioned about the broadcast on WGN. It'll be on 7:30 Texas time, the good time, on Sunday morning, starting, I think, about the 10th of next month. Anyway, we've sure been blessed because our great God called us. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I've been looking for the church all these years. I'm adding a lot of people are looking for the truth, looking for a church. You know, unless God opens your mind and calls you, and giving you His Spirit, you didn't have a lot to do with it. You did have some. You had to repent. And even then, He brought us to repentance. We have to give Him credit for anything, especially for forgiveness, grace, and all the good gifts He gives to us. Notice John, while we're here in John 3:27. John said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. I want to talk a little bit about our calling and how special it is that, and hopefully show that God may have worked in your life from early on, because He determined to call you later, and He may have had circumstances in your life so that you came to the place that you were when you were converted and baptized. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. I'm having trouble too, Mr. Moore. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. The things which are mighty in this world are really shameful, a lot of things. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His sight. We can't boast. We can't think we're better than anyone else. We have a special calling. And you're a special people because of the calling that God's given you, not because of anything we've done, but because of God and His grace towards us. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So, the joy that we need comes from God. The understanding we need comes from God. The wisdom we need is godly wisdom. There is a wisdom of the world, and most of the times, not all the time, but a lot of the brethren, us, put me there, didn't come in with all that much wisdom. Hopefully I have more than I did when I came in 40 years ago, but we all have to grow and to change. Matthew 13:13. A lot of people think that God's trying to save the world now, and we know that He's not. That's why our calling is so special, brethren. Called at this time, being first fruit. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, neither do they understand. Only God can open our minds to His way of life, and that's His determination. We don't say, well, I'm just going to join God. You don't do that without Him drawing you and calling you. Otherwise, it's false conversion. So only our God is the one that calls and draws us. Like I said, though we're on a spiritual journey and have God's Holy Spirit, our journey's not always fruitful. Sometimes we sin. Sometimes we make mistakes. We sin and come to God regularly, though, when we repent and change. Repentance not only means you're sorry for what you've done, but you make changes. Repentance is turning around and going the other direction. 1 John 1:8 states, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So none of us can say that we're without sin. Only Christ is the one, only one who never sinned. I'm going to read 1 John 1, verse 10 and 12. I'm not going to read verse 12, is it? Am I? It's chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 10 and 12. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause of stumbling for him. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You know, God, the first time you sin, he just doesn't take off. And we'll see here in just a few minutes, because all our forefathers sinned, Abraham even, and everyone who's ever lived except Jesus Christ has sinned. But let's look at Abraham. Let's look at him in Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. When God called Abraham, he didn't have that much faith. He had faith. I'm not saying he wasn't faithful, but he grew in faith. And God, when he allowed the test to come upon him to put his son to death, God said, "Now I know you're faithful, Abraham," more or less what he says. "I know that you really love me. You love my way. And I can trust you." And Abraham trusted God. Verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, in a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" And we have been blessed, brethren. Verse 10. "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, 'Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen, when the Egyptians see you, that they will say, "This is his wife," and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you're my sister, that it may be well with you, with me, for your sake, and I may live because of you.'" And you know the rest of the story. He got turned around because they realized that Abraham was his wife, not his sister. It was his half-sister, as I understand. But she was his wife. Notice, though, verse 10. No, I'm in the wrong place. Anyway, Abraham's called the father of the faithful, but he didn't have all that great faith at the beginning. And we're on a journey similar to Abraham's. You know, every one of our callings is different in a way. We come from different backgrounds. Some come from farm life. Some come from the city life. Some come from rich background, not many. But most of us come from, especially in West Texas, a poorer background, economically anyway. Notice Genesis 26, verse 1 through 5. "There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine, that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and says, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I will give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father,'" talking about Isaac, "And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and all your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham, your father, he obeyed my voice, he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Said, you're being blessed a whole lot because of your father. I like to think about different families like the Voorhees. There's several now ten churches, the Moors. They took after her mother. And Mr. Moore, shoot me later. Okay, in verse 6, same chapter, 26. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say, she's my wife. Like Mr. Moore sometimes says, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. He made the same mistake his dad did. He didn't have all that much faith either. But Isaac grew in faith, and we see him making the same mistakes that his father made. We made a lot of the same mistakes our fathers made, and we continue to sometimes. But notice Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac, talking about Isaac, he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And then verse 39, these and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promises. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed man to die at least once. And after this, the judgment. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. These, Isaac, Abraham, all these, they remain faithful. And they're, in Hebrews 11, they're going to be in the kingdom. They have eternal life waiting for them. Brethren, we're on a journey too. I know I've moved several times since I've been in church, and a lot of different things have happened. And some, you know, I've talked about you about my personal life a little bit, because I don't talk much because I'm not too proud of my life, my earlier years. But there's a few things I'm not very proud of since I've been in the church. Maybe got angry or did something I shouldn't have, and but God is a loving and merciful God, just like Abraham and Isaac. They sinned. They lied. Isaac lied, said, she's my sister. You know, she wasn't his sister, you know, but he was trying to save his neck. He did not have all that much faith. Well, I know when I started out, I had to go to my employer and tell him that I could not work on Sabbath anymore, from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. Boy, he was an angry man. I mean, he come down on me pretty hard. And then about a week later, I was hoping I'd quit. He told me, he said, well, we can't use you. You might as well go look for something else. And I wasn't smart enough. I just kept coming back every day, you know. And I worked for him nearly 30 years. But anyway, boy, he was angry. And about a week later, he came out to me. Leo, I need you to come out Saturday evening. It's 6 o'clock, and you can work till midnight. I said, I can't. I said, it's from sunset to sunset. He was angry. He couldn't even remember what I said. Well, he was angry again, man. I'm going through it again. Well, did I have all that much faith? I remember Mr. Armstrong said, you just have to step out in faith. You have to start somewhere, and that was my beginning. And I thought I was probably going to get fired, you know. But I stepped out. And all of us have to step out sometimes. But we have to remain faithful. Exodus 2, verse 1. Talking about Moses. You know, I don't know when God started. I know when He started opening my mind to the truth. But, you know, I think He may have been involved in our earlier lives and things, circumstances, different things that may have happened. I sure want to ask someday, did I have the family I had because, you know, you just determined to call me maybe a long time ago? Or certain things happened to me? Or different things happened that were you involved? Or I don't know. I think some of us were pretty reckless. I really think possibly that I may have had angels watching over me because I was pretty wild on driving and stuff, you know, a hot rodder and different things. And I could tell you some stories, but they're not really good. I can tell you one, I was going down the road about 100 or so miles an hour, and well, I shouldn't tell this, but these old boys come up, and they had a car, had a 55 Ford convertible, and I had a 55 Chevrolet, and it was the fastest car in town. And they said they wanted to race me. It was about 9 miles. But they wanted a head start. I said, go ahead, because I knew I could outrun them. Well, I just kept, this is at night, too. And this guy was older. He probably 25, 30. Here I was about 17. Anyway, he wouldn't let me pass. Boy, I'd try, you know. Well, he didn't know how crazy I was. I passed him in the ditch. So I think I must have had some help, you know, in my past. He couldn't believe it either. He started blinking his lights, wanting me to stop. I didn't trust him. I went all the way that 9 miles. Exodus 2, beginning in verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as his wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months, because they pronounced to kill all the young boys, all the males. And when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. And his sister, which admired him, stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. So when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this was one of the Hebrews' children. Then the sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter went, said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. I don't think this was just an accident. I think God's hand was in this. And Moses going down that river, God was involved. He'd already begun with Moses. And then we know Moses, I think he was there about 40 years. And, you know, he finally knew he was an Israelite. He wasn't an Israelite yet. But he was he killed one of the guys that was beating on one of the Israelites. It was an Israelite. Anyway. So he had to flee to the desert. And he was there about 40 years. God was humbling this guy, so he could make a leader out of him, you know. Well, God works with us in similar ways, too. We go through different trials and tests because we have to develop character. Just like Joseph mentioned, you know, he didn't understand what was going on. He had all these dreams, and then he had his brothers hating him. Then he got put in a dungeon, you know, and he was in there for years, and then he became second right under the king and helped save Egypt. God was involved, and eventually his family came down to him. And Joseph then realized, says, God was with me. He orchestrated most of this. We didn't realize what was going on, but God knew what he was doing all along. And that's with us, brethren. God has called you and I, and we have the awesome potential to become like him. I believe it's 1 John 3:2. It says, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. We're going to be changed, not to become physical human beings again, resurrected, but we will be like God. But he will always be God. He will always be over. But we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. Anyway, Moses' temper caused him problems. You know the story. He killed an Egyptian, and then later on, you know, God told him to go to the rock, and Moses went, and he was angry, and he started striking that rock, and he didn't get to go to the promised land because he didn't give God the glory, and he was taken. He says, must I do this, you know? But God punished Moses in a sense, so he didn't get to go to the promised land. You know, our sins causes problems. David sins, you know, he committed adultery, had her husband killed, and God told him, said, you're going to have war from now. You're going to have blood shed. Things are not going to be near as well with you as it would have been if you'd been faithful. Because David knew God. He knew him from a youth. Notice Psalms chapter 30. Beginning of verse 4. Sing praises to the Lord, you saints of His. Give thanks at the remnant, remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life. You know, when Abraham sinned, God didn't give up on him. When Isaac sinned, He didn't give up on him. When David sinned, He didn't give up on him. As long as a person repents and changes, when he finds out they're wrong, we turn around and go the other way. Haven't we sinned? Haven't we done things that we should not have? I have. I'm ashamed. I'm not going to talk about it. But anyway, we all need God's loving mercy. But we got a special calling, brethren. A very special calling. For His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life. If we remain faithful, we have a chance for eternal life, brethren. He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, in my prosperity, I said, I shall not be moved. He got a little puffed up. Said, man, things. So I'm an okay guy. Things are going to be going good. Lord, by your favor, you've made my mountain stand strong. And you hid your face, and I was troubled. So here, God hides his face from him. He's not answering his prayers, and he's troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. God, David repented again. God forgave him. And now he has all this joy and happiness again because he realized he'd done wrong. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I give thanks to you forever. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. A lot of benefits, brethren. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I think Mr. DeMore didn't mention it, but he's been having headaches and problems lately. But he said every Sabbath when he'd come, said he would do well. He was doing well when he'd come to the Sabbath. God was intervening in his behalf. Because he, even though he was down and out in pain, he was faithful. He was here talking to us, teaching us. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and aren't we glad? Abounding in mercy, He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. I'm glad He's a forgiving God. He doesn't want to go around mad all the time. Sometimes we may get angry and we may take us a few days to get over it if we really get angry. Hopefully we forsake all anger if we can. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. I'm sure so glad He hasn't. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. And hopefully we have the proper fear and awe of God. For as far as the east is from the west, He has removed our transgressions from us. That's a long way, as far as the east is from the west. For He knows, verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. I looked up this word last night, and the Hebrew word is R-A-C-H-A-M. Means to have compassion. You know, when you have a little child and they're hurting or having problems, you know, we have compassion on them. And God says, you know, Jesus told the people, says, you being evil, give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to you who ask? So, God does have compassion. He knows. Verse 14, He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. He remembers where we came from, but He also has hope for where we're going. And that's eternal life, brethren, in His kingdom. Romans 4, verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. What an awesome, loving, compassionate, merciful God we have that forgives us. Do we sin? We do. We continue to sin occasionally. Hopefully, we don't sin willfully, but we still sin. We have wrong thoughts at times, maybe. Or we get angry or whatever. But God will not leave us nor forsake us if we truly repent and change and continue to grow in His Word, as I'll show you in a little bit. Verse 11, talking about Abraham, he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while he was still uncircumcised. He had not been circumcised. That he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. So here we see, before he was circumcised, he had faith. He had the faith to even have that done. But you know what? The Pharisees talked to Jesus and he said, you know, we're of our father Abraham. And Jesus agreed in the sense that they are physical descendants of Abraham. But brethren, we're spiritual descendants of Abraham. We have the same God that's calling us and giving us of His Spirit. And He wants us to make changes just like He wanted Abraham to make changes. He didn't give up on him when he sinned. He just continued. He's faithful and holy, and awesome in love and mercy. Again, brethren, we're on an imperfect journey. We have imperfect leaders, even in the church. As long as there's man, there's not everyone. You know, there's tares in the church. There's unconverted. I'm not trying to judge anyone, but I'm just saying there was always problems in the church. You can read in the Corinthians. You can read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, all those seven churches, the letters were written to. They had all kinds of problems. The church has always had problems. We need to continue to pray for our leaders, for those like headquarters, as I call it. Pray for our council of elders. Pray for the decision for the new president, whomever that might be. We need to pray for Mr. DeMore especially. But we really do need to be praying for our pastor. Not because he's having problems. We need to pray because he is a good teacher and we need that teaching. It comes from God's Word. He's a faithful servant. You know, I'm imperfect in some of the things I teach. You know, Mr. Rick Beam was a pastor of mine at one time. And he told me, you know, or he told the church, he says, if I have to be perfect in what I'm teaching, I'd never teach anything. You know, I'm not perfect either. I make mistakes. I've made some misstatements before. I think I said one time years ago that Peter wasn't the chief apostle. You know, I've made mistakes and I've said different things. And I know God is merciful and loving, and you're smart enough to know sometimes when I make mistakes. But anyway, our journey will end someday. Matthew 5:48 says we are to become perfect. It means strive for maturity, perfection. We need God's Spirit. We need to walk the walk and walk with God's Spirit. The journey will end someday. We can stop the journey early by giving up. And then we die the second death. It talks about in Revelation a couple of places. Revelation 21:8, one place, says the second death. These will be cast into the lake of fire. They'll be given an opportunity to learn, but if they reject it, as if we reject it, we'll be in the lake of fire. When God doesn't want us, He says it's not His will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So if God be for us, it says, who can be against us? He is a loving and merciful God. Matthew 24:13 states, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we're running for an imperishable crown, brethren. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Paul knew the battle that he had and the race he had to run. But notice, he says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, myself should become disqualified. He knew that he had to remain faithful to the end, and so must we, brethren. What an awesome potential we have. Final scripture, 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some are hard to be understood, which untaught and unstable people wish twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away from the error of the wicked. We have to remain steadfast and faithful. Verse 18, a very important verse. But grow in the grace, or grow in the favor. Grow in favor with God and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. How awesome is our calling, brethren. How awesome is our God.